All right. Today's date is July 14th, 2015. Don't have the time. Probably left my phone downstairs. Somewhere between 10 and 12. That's all I really know right now. And I'm Tamika Williams, the interviewer, and the oral historian is Robert Mays. And he is the former co-founder and owner of United Realty, and a current business owner of Mays Realty now. Okay, and this project is titled Oral Histories on Plant Closings in Milwaukee. So I want to make sure, actually, I understood because I walked in the middle. Did you actually grow up in Milwaukee, though, or you grew up in the South?
I was born and raised in Milwaukee.
Okay, so we were talking about your family earlier from the South.
Right.
Okay. Well, since I didn't get to hear the interview that you had with Claiborne before, can you just tell me a little bit about your history here in Milwaukee?
Well, I was born in 1929 here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school at 4th Street, Roosevelt Junior High, and Lincoln High School.
Okay.
I didn't graduate from Lincoln. I left Lincoln High School, and at the age of 16, I joined the military, mm-hmm. ran off. I joined the military and stayed there for 3 months and came back home because it was too much for me.
Okay.
And I went to MATC and got my ED. And I also went to Atlanta University to get my certificates for real estate management, and at Cleveland College.
Okay.
And that's where I got my degree in property management.
Okay.
Got my certificate in property management.
Okay.
Why I've been in real estate in since 1959.
Okay.
And I worked out to L. Smith in 1951. Until 1969.
Okay, so did you work for A.O. Smith and do real estate at the same time?
Well, I worked for A.O. Smith up until, in 1959 is when I got my license
for real estate. Okay.
And so I did real estate and worked at A.O. Smith
mm-hmm.
until 1969.
Okay.
And then I left A.O. Smith and went full time with real estate.
Okay. Did you choose to leave A.O. Smith or were you laid off
because
of the plant?
I was laid off several times, but I had left A.O. Smith because I was making more money on a sale, in one sale in real estate, than I was in a month working at A.O. Smith.
Wow.
That didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I quit.
Okay.
And went into real estate full time.
Was that typical though? Because was it typical for people to make more money leaving A.O. Smith?
Well,
by leaving, or was that unique to you?
It depends on if you can sell any property. That's the thing.
Okay.
But it's typical if you can sell property at that time. When when I first started out, we were getting commission of $1,200 for a listing
mm-hmm.
at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making, for a month, I was making about $1,200 out to L. Smith, you know, for a month's work. So it just felt better for me to not to have to get up early in the morning
mm-hmm.
to go to work, when I can get up at any time I want to and make my appointments at any time and make it more convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went into real estate
okay.
full time.
Well,
now,
mm-hmm.
L. Smith was one of several factories that had employed lots of minorities.
Mm-hmm.
I worked, when I was a teenager, I worked out to Harness Figure, which was a plant. But we had a lot of plants here, and when they started closing down, things started getting rough for minorities because it was just more or less labor.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't join the unions for specific jobs. Like when I was out to L. Smith, I asked one of the electrical engineers about getting an apprenticeship to join the electric union. Mm-hmm. And he told me that they didn't hire blacks. I said, we don't allow blacks in our union. Same way with the plumbing. They didn't allow blacks in their union at that time. Mm-hmm. So we were more or less dealing with blacks that dealt with welding, which was a good paying job, and assembly work. Mm-hmm. And then we did piece work, which was stamping out different items for cars and everything. Mm-hmm. But like I said, when they started closing down, it started hurting the housing industry. Mm-hmm. And it just made it rough. And they never did try and to help us or help minorities to get different jobs, because they needed the education that they didn't have at that time, and things just started getting rough.
Well, you were also, based on the education you told me about, you were pretty highly educated. What made you decide to go and pursue those different degrees and certificates?
What made me decide to go into real estate was because I didn't like hard work.
Okay.
I never did like hard work.
Okay.
So it was easier for me to transfer from one job to another. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I just thought that I could do better. Mm-hmm. Which I was very fortunate to do better, mm-hmm. you know.
And you said you got laid off several times.
Oh, at A.L. Smith, yes.
At A.L. Smith?
Oh, yes, I got laid off a lot of times at A.L. Smith.
And they would call you back?
Oh, yeah, they would call me back.
Can you tell me more about how that worked?
Well, what happens is when things start getting bad, and like when Ford and General Motors them go on a strike, mm-hmm. Parts and everything that we need to give to them, mm-hmm. They don't have. Mm-hmm. So they lay us off.
Okay.
Until things start getting better. In the automobile industry that A.L. Smith specialized in, if parts department someplace else in the country go on a strike where they stop making parts, we couldn't do anything to deliver the goods, so they lay us off.
So how did you handle each layoff?
Well, I just handled it the best way I could.
What did you to make sure that you still had
income coming in? That's what made me go into real estate, uh-huh. in 1959.
Okay.
Because of that.
So when did you realize that these plant closings were going to continue to happen?
Well, I didn't really realize that plant closing was going to start happening until after I had left A.L. Smith, because it really didn't start happening until in the 80s, mm-hmm. when they started closing the plants.
Okay.
People, like, before A.L. Smith closed down, the people there that were still working was making over $1,000 a week, mm-hmm. doing work. I mean, that's how good it was at that time.
Which was why I was confused when you said you made more money.
Well, at 69.
'69.
See,
okay.
69 and 83 is two different eras.
Right, it is. 14, 15 years difference.
Yeah. It's two different eras, so they started making more money.
Okay.
As things started getting better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they was making, of course, they put in a lot of overtime, and that's something else I didn't like to do.
Okay.
I didn't like to put in overtime. I liked to work 40 hours a week, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the other reasons why I wasn't making more than a lot of the other people, because I wasn't putting in a lot of overtime.
Okay. And you said you noticed the plant closings after you had already left.
Oh, yeah, after I had left.
So how did it impact your real estate business?
Very bad. Very bad. Oh, yeah, we went down. We was averaging $1 million a year in commission.
Nice.
When we first started in 75 until 1983, when Reagan got into office and things started going down, Mm-hmm. We was making about $300,000 or $400,000, which which made it possible for a lot of our sales associates to quit and find other jobs because they wasn't making any money. People wasn't buying houses; they couldn't afford them. Mm-hmm. So that went on for quite a while.
What did you do to succeed, though? Because you said United Realty's
survived
through that period.
We survived as far as the owners. Mm-hmm. We stayed, mm-hmm. you know, and we were able to make a decent living off of selling property still.
Mm-hmm. But what made it possible for you guys, other than people leaving, what did you guys do differently to kind of fight your way through the recession?
I had real estate that I owned, mm-hmm. but I was still selling property mm-hmm. To people. Not as much as I was before, but enough to get by, okay. along with the real estate that I had. And I had some investments mm-hmm. Where I made money off of my real estate.
Okay. And when did you say you started United Realty for?
1975.
So, and that was primarily for the African Americans to have an opportunity to sell.
To compete with the white uh-huh. brokers.
So, when you first formed and you were trying to, I mean, I don't want to say you were trying to support your own community, like that just needed to happen, right?
That was something that needed to happen, yeah, to mm-hmm. be in competition with them so we can get our people better housing mm-hmm. Instead of steering them to different locations wherever they wanted to purchase, we can send them there.
Right. So how did things evolve as the economy kept changing for your business as far as helping your community?
Well, like I said, as far as our community, as far as the black folks were concerned, the ones that could afford it, you get better housing in different areas. That's why we were able to go from just the inner city to the outlying areas.
Oh, you were able to accomplish that.
Oh, yeah, we were able to accomplish that.
Okay.
And lots of them, again, like I said, because of the competition that we were giving the white real estate brokers, mm-hmm. they started hiring black mm-hmm. real estate salespeople.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, it made me no difference because we had more than we needed.
Okay.
You know, competition is competition, you know. Mm-hmm. And whoever gets the listings or sell the houses is the one that makes the money.
Mm-hmm. But was that your goal, though, to get black people more accepted within the white?
Oh, yeah, okay. that was our purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after the economy went down and you were able to still make a living, were you ever able to achieve the same success that you had in kind of the...
In the beginning? Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. And why do you think that was?
Because of the economy.
Okay. It never fully recovered?
It never really recovered. Okay. No. Mm-mm. I mean, right today, it's still bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think could have been done differently to support anyone going through
Well,
that?
What could have been done differently is that if we had better programs, mm-hmm. as far as the government was concerned, to help implement some of the programs to make it better for people mm-hmm. to earn a decent living.
Right.
To create different jobs. Mm-hmm. And it just never did happen.
Why didn't it happen?
Well, they start going overseas.
All
right. The factories start moving to Mexico or wherever mm-hmm. because of the labor was cheap.
Right.
And it never did recover back here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know you created this organization, the real estate organization. What else did you do to help your community, especially because real estate is all about the communities you're building?
Right.
So what other types of things did you do to help prevent it from being like a total loss?
It was really nothing that we could do.
Okay.
I mean, other than investments, you know, real mm-hmm. estate was our thing.
Okay. So did you find yourself renting to people more than selling? Did there a shift?
There was a shift in renting. more so than selling, yes.
Okay. And was that what made people more open to still, I don't want to ask this. One of the videos we watched, it seemed like it was the American dream to own your own home.
It's always been.
So how did people kind of adjust to this new reality that renting was their option?
Well, they had to. I mean, it was something they were forced to do because they couldn't afford, or their credit was bad, where they couldn't afford to buy a house. When you get laid off and you're surviving one paycheck to another and you get laid off, you can't pay the bills. So their credit started getting bad.
Right.
So now they put a clamp on us. When I say us, I'm talking about the minorities, to make it harder for them to try and advance in purchasing property where they don't do it for whites.
Right.
And they never did.
And what did you notice changed in people's mentalities as that
I knew
happening?
That changed all ever since I was in real estate, that they treated the whites much better than the teachers. Treated the blacks.
But how did people in the community, how did they respond emotionally,
they responded. They responded by having organizations to start suing. That's why they got the housing authority. It was one of them. And the group that was formed out of that, I'm trying to think of the name of it, is Fair Housing. The Fair Housing program came out of that. Where they sued the insurance company, they sued the owners of real estate that refused to rent to blacks, and the insurance company for redlining, and we was able to get advanced into that field.
How grueling was that process, though?
Well, it was probably, it was fruitful as far as the blacks were concerned, because we were able to overcome some of the obstacles that was confronting us in trying to get insurance.
But what was it like up until you achieved progress? How
it was hard. Yeah, it was hard. They didn't want to, and when they gave them insurance, they charged them much more than they would the white folks.
And how did people respond to that?
Well, like I said, they sued.
They kept fighting.
Yeah, they kept fighting. We've been fighting all our lives, trying to get fair treatment as others.
And I feel like that usually wears people down. So are there people that you know where they couldn't handle the fight anymore?
The ones that I know that started it kept on until they had some results. They never did back down.
Okay. So what made it easier for them to not back down, to not...
Well, it was an idea that made it easier for them not to back down. Just the idea that they knew they were right in what they were doing, and they were going to continue until it was taken care of.
Where do you think that resilience comes from?
It's come from us being set back all the time, and we're sick and tired of it. And when we know something is wrong, we're going to fight for it until it betters itself.
Right. Well, I've been told that Milwaukee's changed in a lot of ways, where the communities are deteriorating, and like you said, people can't afford homes. So what do you think the impact was of the plant closings on creating those issues? Every city has that.
Right.
Do you feel like the plant closings changed that in any way for Milwaukee?
Plant closing caused a lot of businesses, black businesses, to fold, where they couldn't hire black help. Whenever the plant closed, and you take a bunch of people that is used to working and making decent money, and now they're not making anything, and depending on unemployment, which is very low, they couldn't afford anything, so it just made it impossible for a lot of our businesses to survive. And they had to just fold.
And then what was their next option?
I don't want to know what their next option was, other than try and get a job.
Right. Well, just as far as people who did succeed, did they, how much help did they give to the people that were still struggling?
As far as I know, the one that did succeed and still succeeding, they were able to give a lot of our people jobs. Like Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's. I mean, it wasn't high-paying jobs, but it was jobs where they could probably survive during the time. Daycares, and the, you know, things of that sort.
What made you guys finally close down United Realty?
Well, what made us decide to close down, because, like I said, we had 32 sales associates. We had 8 directors. And when we closed down, it was only 2 directors. And our age, I'm 86, and Mr. Brooks was 90. You know, and
that's why I was asking why you didn't retire. So I didn't know how old you were, but I was like, at some point, don't you just want to relax and enjoy?
And it just wasn't fruitful on them because we wasn't making any money. And so we decided to just close the shop.
Did you ever start doing educational programs of your own to help people in the community?
No.
Okay. And you said you went to MATC and Atlanta University and Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
So what kept
that was for real estate.
Okay, but what kept bringing you back to Milwaukee?
I mean, I never moved there. I just went there for classes.
Okay.
But I never left Milwaukee.
You didn't have to leave even when you were at Atlanta University?
No, I didn't have to leave. I stayed a week.
Oh, okay.
Had a week program there, and then we had to go to Cleveland and stay 2 weeks to get my certificates for management, property management.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that was more of an extended stay over there.
No.
And what has really kept you in Milwaukee through all these ups and downs?
Well, my family. I mean, I had brothers and sisters here. And then when I got married, I had 7 to 8 children.
Okay. And are your children still here?
Yeah, all of them are still here.
Okay. And how did the changes in the city impact them, particularly with the plant closings?
What, my children?
Your family in general.
Yeah, well, as far as my family, my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's went to not Spelman, but Atlanta.
Clark Atlanta.
Clark Atlanta. She's the principal.
Here in Milwaukee. Okay.
My other daughter, she had a house for unwed mothers. And my other daughter, she's got her degree in accounting. My son, he's a painter. The other one, he's disabled. And my other son that's living, he works for the county.
Okay. So everyone stayed here then?
Everyone stayed here. The other two passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that. So what do you think it is about Milwaukee that keeps people fighting to stay here?
You know, I'm going to tell you something. Milwaukee is a good city. I mean, really and truly. In fact, I would say out of all the other cities that I have traveled through, I don't know of any one that would take the place of Milwaukee. Because when I go to Atlanta, which is fine, but it's too hot there in the summertime. Down south, and out west, there's earthquakes, sandstorms, tornadoes, and all these. Milwaukee kind of don't have all of this problem. It seems as though that it passes us by, maybe because of Lake Michigan, I don't know. But just like this weather that just passed.
Yes.
I mean, it was devastating. And Milwaukee was able to kind of weather the storm. And I like Milwaukee.
I mean, I like it, too.
You like Milwaukee?
I do. Learning about all this has been really interesting. And actually, I didn't even ask you, for any of your coworkers at A.O. Smith, did you end up keeping in touch with any of them? Or do you guys meet, or, you know? Because I understand it feels kind of like a big little city here, because everyone still knows one another.
Right. Well, as far as the workers out to A.O. Smith, no, mm-hmm. I didn't keep up with any of them, although I see them once in a while.
Mm-hmm. None of them came to work with you?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, it was. There was two of them. That's okay. Right. There was two of them. They came to work with us. Mm-hmm. Sure was. But
what
they're gone.
To them?
Yeah, they're dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
See, a lot of my directors that we had have passed away.
Okay.
It's only two that left that are still living that left Milwaukee. One went to Chicago. She got married to another broker. And the other one, he moved to Mississippi, where he was from originally, and opened up a rehab house, business.
Okay.
And so the rest of them passed away.
But you didn't actively recruit anyone that you used to work with?
No. I tried to recruit my kids,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want to go into real estate.
No. Did they ever tell you why, since they knew
they
that you had done?
Yeah, they just didn't want to go. They wanted to go their own way.
Okay.
Yeah. The one that said he wanted to go into real estate, he came to my office. He was working out to a Bradley
mm-hmm.
factory, and he came to the office. He said, "Daddy, I think I'm going to go to school and take up real estate and come in the office with you." Well, he was killed.
Okay.
That was my youngest son.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, one of them things.
Yeah, the baby. do you think that the changes in the community were definitely impacted by the plant closings, though? I mean, I know it happens in every city.
It was definitely, definitely. When you're out of a job and don't know what to do, especially young folks today, they don't think they're going to live to see 30 years.
Mm.
I mean, it's devastating that they have this mindset on, I'm going to try and get mine any way I can because I'm not going to be here too much longer. Mm-hmm. And so they don't love themselves like we used to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, we loved ourselves and we loved the people that we associated with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that now.
But do you think that they were taught that mentality, or how did that
Well,
come
it's
about?
Because, one reason is because of all this dope and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and young people having babies
mm-hmm.
and can't take care of them. You know, when you get a mother that's 24 years old and is a grandmother,
okay.
that's rough.
You're saying a 24-year-old that is a grandmother?
Yeah, and is a grandmother. That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Which meant she had her child young
mm-hmm.
and didn't know how to take care of it. And I mean, it's just the love isn't there like it used to be.
Okay.
And it's sad. It really is. And then the white folks stopped us from chastising our children as they were growing up
mm-hmm.
so they could kill them when they get grown. You see, with my children, when they were wrong, they were chastised.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the Bible. Spoil the child, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believed in that. And I spanked mine when they was doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had caught me or tried to make me stop, I would have told them I would have told the judge. You know, I can spank them now so you don't kill them later.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't stop. And I was very fortunate that I'm got in that kind of a trouble.
And as far as the white community, it seems like they were still impacted by the plant closings, but do you feel they were hit?
Oh, they were. They were. Oh, yeah. They had problems, too.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they got more problems than we have. It's
you
just that we don't know about it.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't advertise it like they advertise us.
Okay.
Oh, no, white folks got a lot of problems, honey. Believe me when I tell you, they got a lot of problems.
But as far as, has there ever been any movement to kind of get the two communities that were especially impacted by this I'm sure there's more than two communities, but to work together. Was there ever any success outside of your own real estate work?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
What do you think they should be doing differently at this point now? If we know they're not giving the government programs.
Let me see now. You mean to do better?
Mm-hmm.
If we were able to get our people and the white people together to come up with a formula to start educating our people for the jobs that's being created today,
mm-hmm.
like the computers and all these other things that's happening where I know have no knowledge of whatsoever, but it's there, you know, and with new inventions, new jobs are being created, and if we could get our people to go to school and take up the new jobs that's being created and get some jobs, some good paying jobs, things could change.
Okay.
But it's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. So since you decided to keep your company going, what was the main motivating factor for you on that?
Excuse me, just to have something to do.
Okay. So are you working on your solo now, or do you have other people working with you?
No, solo.
Okay. Solo. Would you even want to train anyone else?
Not really. Because okay. In two more years, I'll probably give it up completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be 88. Mm-hmm. That's enough.
So are you doing it full-time or part-time?
Well, I do it in my house, so, you know, whenever somebody call
mm-hmm.
and want me to list some property or sell some property
mm-hmm.
or want to buy some property, you know, I mm-hmm. go and check them out.
So in real estate, know that your network is a big deal as far as your success. So what did you do to grow your network during this time, even as it was hard?
Actually, I'm not doing much of anything to increase my network. My computer right now is down. I got to get a new computer.
Okay.
So I got to wait till that come in
mm-hmm.
so I can go ahead and get these listings for the people that's interested in buying.
Mm-hmm. But before your computer broke down and stuff, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. So,
oh, yeah.
So what did it take for you to build up your business and really
well,
get
only
it
thing, reference from my past experience,
mm-hmm.
The ones that I've sold to their children to call me,
mm-hmm.
or the ones that want to sell their house and go to Georgia or wherever mm-hmm. they call me.
Okay.
So, I mean, I get new buyers.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular areas that you noticed did better at thriving compared to
Northwest, West,
uh-huh.
East.
Okay.
Other than the inner city, unless it's for investment.
Okay. So what made those areas thrive more? Were there more?
Because they're newer homes.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Newer homes.
It didn't have anything to do with the opportunities available there too?
Well, it's because they wanted to get in a better environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you do to kind of give yourself a leg up against your competition?
What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I can say is from my past experience with my clients that they trusted me mm-hmm. and they carried that on to other prospective buyers
mm-hmm.
that had faith in what I was doing.
Okay. And was it hard to establish that trust with
people?
Well,
it wasn't hard establishing it because if you want to be fair with anybody, I mean, it's something that comes to you automatically.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything I didn't ask you or didn't cover that you feel like would be relevant, especially in relation to the plant closing?
No, but I can tell you one experience I had out to A.O. Smith while I was there. Well, I had three of them.
Okay.
One of them was I was working assembling welding machines. And I had quite a bit of seniority. And they brought in a white fellow to work in our department. And eventually there was a layoff. And according to seniority, the one with the least seniority get laid off.
First, right.
Okay. So instead of them laying him off, he tried to lay me off.
Was he above?
My foreman.
Okay.
My foreman. And I told him, I said, why are you laying me off? I said, he's got less seniority than I have. I said, I'm not going to stand for that. He said, well, I've gave you a break to bring you into this department. I said, yeah, but if I couldn't do the job, I wouldn't be here. I said, and you taking money out of my family's mouth, food out of my family's mouth. I said, and I'm not going to stand for it. So I went to the superintendent, which is higher than the foreman, and told him. And they laid that young fellow off. Another job was when I was working in the factory, I noticed that we, as far as the blacks were concerned, was getting less pay than the whites. Again, I went to the foreman and raised hell about that. And some black fella, I forgot his name, they came from the South, came over to me and told me I was a troublemaker. So you gonna cause us to lose our jobs? I said, I'm not gonna cause you to lose your jobs. I said, but hell, I ain't gonna be working the same, doing the same thing that they're doing, and we're getting less money. And I went to the superintendent about that, and we got our pay.
Oh, good.
So then they wanted to make me steward.
Okay.
Because I didn't have any doubt in my mind that if I knew something was wrong, that I wouldn't go ahead and try and take care of it.
So when you got the raise for everyone, what did that gentleman say then?
Oh, he laughed, said thank you.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, you know, but it was, when I first started working out the L. Smith, they called what they called the assembly line. And everybody had something to do. I mean, you stayed busy all the time. And you had to wait until you had a relief man to take your place so you can go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Okay, you get this? I was on the line, and I had to go to the bathroom. And I couldn't wait for the relief man. And I left. Yeah, I left and went to the bathroom. And the whole line stopped. They called me down in the office, and they chastised me because of that.
Yeah.
I told them that I came here for a job, but I didn't come here to slave. And I'm not going to stay on this job. I said, I got enough seniority where I can go someplace else. And I went to the union, and I went to another location where I didn't have to be on that line anymore.
Okay.
I had a lot of experience out there, Smith.
Well, it sounds like you weren't afraid to speak up
yourself, though. No, I'm never afraid to speak up, honey.
But most people are. So how did your peers approach you differently then?
Oh, yes, they respected me.
Okay.
The foremen and superintendent, oh, yeah, they respected me. When something happened, they come and let me know something happened, you know.
Okay.
But no, I wasn't afraid.
Well, and I didn't really ask you about that. I forgot to get back on the As far as the unions, you said you weren't allowed to join most of them at first, so it sounds like eventually you did.
No, as far as the union was concerned, after I left, I understand that some blacks were able to join the electrical union and the plumbing union.
Mm-hmm. But you said you could only do the
1906, the assembly. Labor, just common labor.
Okay, so there was only one union that you could
join. There was only one union, 1906.
Okay, and you said you did become the steward as a
result. Yeah, I became a steward, because they wanted me to. They knew I could speak up.
Uh-huh. And how much work did you do with the union?
Well, I did a lot of work. Whenever something happened, one thing good about the union, being a steward, when there's a complaint or anything, you can leave your job. Mm-hmm. And fight for that and still get paid.
Oh, okay.
So you were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But before I left L. Smith, something had happened that to me, I went to take up time study.
Mm-hmm.
They told me if I take up time study that they would give me a job with that. That's seeing how much a job would pay per hour for piecework.
Okay.
After I did it and passed the test and everything, the superintendent told me that now you had to have a degree, engineering degree, in order to do it. Okay?
Okay.
So that's when I went in to real estate. But the year before I left A.L. Smith, I was allowed to take off whenever I had a closing in real estate. And they would not find me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that quite often.
Okay.
And I got shame. And that's why I quit. But they allowed me. All I had to do was tell them, I said, I got a closing tomorrow. He said, well, go ahead and take off.
Okay. But so you didn't have to negotiate anything?
No.
So you didn't end up getting your degree in engineering, but you got your degree in real estate. Were they surprised when you did that instead?
Not a degree in real estate. I got my license in real estate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were surprised in that. Yeah, in fact, they were. My foreman said, "Why do you want to quit L. Smith when you got all these children and depend on real estate?"
Mm-hmm.
I told him, "Well, that's the chance I have to take."
Sounds like it worked out for you.
And so that's what I did.
Yeah. But if you learn that the time, you said timeshare or time stamp?
What? You talking about, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you decided not to get the engineering degree after they told you that?
No. I had to go back to school. Mm-hmm. And I decided not to go back to school.
No. Do you think they did that to discourage you, or I should ask why did they?
I don't know.
Tell you after the fact.
It could have been the ruling by the plant plant itself, you know, by the president or whatever. Because we did eventually get a black time study man in that had his degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't they tell you before you took those classes that you needed that degree?
Yeah, they didn't. It didn't happen then. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I don't understand why you're going
to... That's white folks, isn't it?
How much do you think they did just to make you guys' life more difficult?
As much as they could.
Yeah. Did they eventually get tired of doing that?
Oh, the white folks don't get tired, honey.
Okay. I should know better, because honestly today I still am like, I don't understand why.
Yeah, they don't get tired. Whenever they can stop you from gaining any momentum, they're going to try it. Some of them, not all of them, some of them.
Well, how do you feel they, when they saw that you were still able to succeed even after the plant closed?
Well, they didn't know.
No?
No, they didn't know.
Okay. You weren't as involved.
No.
You left that piece of life behind you completely.
Right.
Was that a conscious choice?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that. Do you ever wish that you could get together with them? Any of those old? No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I feel like we covered everything. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I should have asked you. I'm glad we got back to the union thing, but yeah, it seems like your experience was different than a lot of other people. But do you think that had a lot to do with your mentality?
Well, each individual had their own experience, and I can't say whether it's from that or whatever. It's just the way I was brought up, that's all.
Yeah, okay. Well, unless you have anything else, I don't think I have any more questions. All right, thank you very much.